Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean, let's talk about Cher and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And in the past, she has sounded like she doesn't like them. Is she saying anything new?
Well, she, I think initially she liked them, but so many decades went by where she was not acknowledged by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And she's one of the most successful and critically acclaimed artists of the past 50, 60, 70 years, really. She's only one of two artists to have number one songs in all of the past seven decades, her and the Rolling Stones. So I think she just, you know, finally got disgusted with not being nominated, not being chosen to be in the Rock Hall of Fame. And then she was chosen to be in the Rock Hall of Fame last week. All of the rest of the inductees this year have posted some kind of thanks or acknowledgement on their social media. Cher has not said a word, and it all may stem from this interview that she did on the Kelly Clarkson show in December of last year about the Rock Hall of Fame.
I wouldn't be in it now if they gave me $1 million.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding you.
If you ever change your mind,
I'm never.
No, no. If you okay,
mind.
I have things
I mean,
in my
they
career
can just
like
go,
that.
You know what? Themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So that sounds like a kind of a firm no, I would think.
She didn't like being snubbed, I guess.
She didn't like being snubbed all these years. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens now that she has been chosen and has publicly said, I wouldn't go into your club for $1 million, whether she's going to do it or not do it. So far, she has not said a word about the whole thing. So maybe if she could turn back time, she would.
Hey, I saw what you did there.
She would change her mind with this whole thing, but we'll see what happens.
We may get a big never mind. Who knows? This is interesting. An episode of Saturday Night Live, very highly rated. Now, is this just the Peacock ratings or any NBC numbers?
Yeah, no, these are the Peacock ratings, the Ryan Gosling episode of SNL from April 13th. Everyone pretty much agrees it was one of the best episodes that we've had in a long time. And they posted it on the Peacock platform. And since then, it has now garnered 170 million views across the social platforms and also on the air. About, let me see, 46 million say that they watched at least one clip of that show on YouTube. That clip being the Beavis and Butthead sketch. that's right, Beavis. That's right. The show's ratings were through the roof, and they haven't seen ratings like that since Dave Chappelle hosted the show in November of 2022.
We've got a new. Yeah. Well, right with that, Dean. Try not to give Control Room Joe any reason to play that. Taylor Swift.
I choose stories strictly on what drop ins I think the Joe can work it. Like if I mention Victory Auto Records, I know what's going to happen somewhere along
by.
The way. Right.
Yeah. New streaming record for Taylor Swift. That's not surprising, is it?
No. This happens every single day. We've had some new record that has been broken by Taylor Swift. From this album, it now has become the first album ever to hit 1 billion streams in a single week. The only problem with that is it hasn't been out for a full week yet. Came out last Friday. So in just 6 days, the album has already hit 1 billion Spotify streams. 31 songs on this double album set has made it the most streamed album in a single day on Spotify. And the song with Post Malone called Fortnite is the most streamed song in a single day on Spotify. So, the album's doing fairly well, I guess.
Coming up, we'll get to Jason Alexander and more with Dean, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. We have the news at 8:30, but here's something we want to get to you right away. Steve?
Yeah, it's breaking news out of New York this morning, Bob. The Supreme Court in New York has overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction. Court of Appeals ruling that the judge at the movie mogul's landmark Me Too trial prejudiced him with improper rulings, including a decision to let women testify about allegations that weren't part of the case. The 72-year-old Weinstein has been serving a 23-year sentence in New York. He'll remain behind bars for now because he's also been convicted in Los Angeles of another rape, was sentenced to 16 years in that case. But the New York's highest court has ordered a new trial for Harvey Weinstein in New York. We'll continue to follow that story and bring you more as we get it throughout the day.
So will Chicago be feeding Phil Rosenthal, Dean?
Yeah, I think they definitely will. He's the host of the very popular Netflix series, Somebody Feed Phil, where he travels all over the world and tries different foods and shows off different cultures. He did one of his episodes here in Chicago a couple of years ago. But he's going to be in Chicago on Saturday, May the 4th at the Chicago Theater. He does these one-night appearances in different cities where he talks about his travels. He talks about different foods. There are question and answer periods. So if you're a Phil Rosenthal fan, and a lot of people really like his quirky, kind of dorky, goofy way that he presents everything, I sure do. Mm-hmm. It's going to be May the 4th, and they invited me to come to host the stage presentation, to interview Phil on stage, and to host the question and answer period with the audience. So I will also be there. I may prepare some exotic food for him to try on stage. I'm trying to think of something that would be really good that, because he's fearless in what he eats. So I'm going to work on that between now and then, see what happens.
Why don't you fry up a cicada for him, see what happens?
Oh, yes. It's going to be a local delicacy here soon.
yeah, that's how you promote it. It seems like every week we're hearing about another documentary. We just finished watching the Steve Martin documentary, which was really interesting.
Yeah.
And there's a couple more coming soon, aren't there?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, first of all, a new documentary on Jim Henson, and all about the creation of the Muppets and Sesame Street and everything that that he did. This is going to be directed by Ron Howard, so you know it's going to be spectacular. It will be a documentary streaming on Disney Plus starting on May the 31st. But also, if you're a Backstreet Boy fan, you might be interested in this documentary about the Carter brothers, Backstreet Boy singer Nick Carter and his late brother Aaron Carter. Both have had nothing but controversy. Nick with the allegation of sexual assault by three women, and Aaron living with a whole variety of addiction problems and health issues. He died in 2022, but that docuseries is going to be called Fallen Idols, Nick and Aaron Carter. That will be on the Investigation Discovery Channel and then on Max on May 27th and 28th.
And, Dean, we're just getting word this second about award-winning documentary producer Scott Craig passing away at the age of 89. I know you know him. He was at Channel 2, Channel 5.
Yeah.
I found him to be not only an excellent producer, but a really, really nice guy.
Really nice guy.
That's sad news. We know him in Chicago very well, though.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. He had interactions with him on a regular basis back in the day. Couldn't have been a nicer man.
Let's get to Jason Alexander, who's in town now, and what's he talking about?
Yeah, we sat down and talked over at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater at Navy Pier. His world premiere comedy called Judgment Day is in previews right now. We'll see it next week, and I'll be able to review it for you then. But we sat and we talked about Seinfeld. We played a little of that interview for you last week. But I also just wanted to talk a little about his stage work, which is seemingly what he really likes to do. and his stage debut here in Chicago. He's been on stage in just about everywhere, but first time ever here.
Well, this play, Chicago Shakespeare, is extraordinary, gorgeous. The experience of being on the pier and walking down through that pier and all those very happy people just to go to work is fantastic. But I've been to a little storefront theater, I think it was called the Rivendell or something like that, where a friend of mine from college was performing. We saw an extraordinary play at Steppenwolf.
Talk to me a little about Judgment Day, why you chose to do the world premiere here, why you chose to do this production in particular.
Well, it's a little bit of them choosing us as well. As soon as I read it, I was introduced to it during the pandemic, did it as a Zoom reading. And even in that sort of artificial setting, it was very funny. The role I get to play is really kind of, you know, just a madcap little romp. And then Chicago Shakespeare stepped up and said, we'd like to do it. And Moritz, our director, came on. And just the pieces started to fall together where it was too interesting, too compelling to not do it. In fact, the only thing that was, I have a new grandson, and that's the only thing that I was going, how do I weigh that?
It seems like you're gravitating to more stage projects now. Is that correct?
I guess so. To me, it's just like going back to what I had in my head in the first place. I grew up in New Jersey. When I discovered theater, it was all about New York, and my fantasies as a kid were all about, can I get over the river and start working in that town? And then I was lucky enough during the 80s to do exactly that. I had no aspirations about film or television. I just thought, well, it'd be great to make a living in the theater. And then that lovely left turn happened, and all this nice stuff began. But I'm thrilled to be back, you know, kind of. The theater's the only thing I trained in. I don't know anything else about. I've directed movies. I'm going, I don't know what lens you should put on this thing. We use lenses? Is that what we use here? Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing this play. I'll see it next week, and I'll be able to tell you about it then.
I was watching a Seinfeld rerun yesterday, laughing my you-know-what off. Jason Alexander used his whole body. I mean, he is the consummate actor because, you know, other than just the funny lines, you see the way he uses everything in
fearless.
His performances.
Completely fearless. I think I may have seen the same episode that you're talking about where I was like, physically, he's hilarious. The
exactly.
words are hilarious. His expressions are hilarious, you know. And I think that's probably his theater training. There's
sure.
a different kind of expression when you're on stage and you have to communicate in so many different ways.
I was in the pool.
That's right.
Thank you.
Who has a George Costanza shrinkage drop-in available at a moment's notice?
That old car is worth money.
It's amazing.
I just kind of sit here and just wonder what's going to happen next.
You're better off.